2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Everyone say it. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Funny, we were just talking about seasons there, weren't we? Be prepared in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patient instruction. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. So they will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, this is Paul saying to Timothy, but you, be sober in all things. In other words, be watchful. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let me read that again. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. See, this is second letter to Timothy from Paul. And this letter offers a picture of Paul at the end of his ministry, just before his death. So Paul understood and understands that ministry is not easy. Okay, and after his departure, that it would be very difficult for Timothy, because Paul is mentoring Timothy. Paul's like spiritual father to Timothy. Alright? And indeed, sometime after this letter, Timothy was actually imprisoned for his faith. So this letter came to Timothy just when he needed it, just when he was really, really struggling in ministry, just when he was really struggling in his faith and in terms of his leadership. See, Paul knew that Timothy's task was to keep the church pure with a sound doctrine, and which is very important for the church today, that the church should follow and abide with the sound doctrine, while encouraging believers to live their lives for the sake of the gospel. And Paul knew and understood that this will be a difficult task for young Timothy. So therefore, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy and he's saying to them, listen, Timothy, these are the things you need to consider as you walk your journey with Christ. Let's look at verse 1. It says, I charge you in the presence of God. Very strong words. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. See, so Paul begins this chapter, Paul begins this this verse by actually giving him a very strong command. So Paul's giving this very strong command to Timothy. You see, the word charge is a Greek courtroom term which implies testimony, witness, or obligation. So that word charge actually in Greek courtroom term implies testimony. So I charge you, I testify, I charge you, okay? So testimony, witness, and obligation. So this is actually a serious obligation which Paul is placing on young Timothy. Paul's intent is to bring Timothy to a close attention. Not only that, but to bring him to that place of obedience to a very important instruction which he's about to give to him. Because Paul wants young Timothy to grasp hold of this. So every time, I love the letters of Paul. You see, every time whenever Paul says, I charge you, or every time Paul says, listen carefully, he's trying to grab their attention. So he wants Timothy's attention when he's saying to you, Timothy, Timothy, I charge you with this. Timothy, let me give you this command. Timothy, let me give you this commission. Timothy, let me remind you your calling. Because sometimes in our journey, we can easily get sidetracked and forget what God has called us to do. Sometimes we can so easily get complacent and be in that place of comfortableness where we think, come into church and just worshipping God and just singing a couple of hymns, that's enough for me. And we forget that God has actually a great call in each and every one of his lives. And until then, unless we come to that place of seriousness and say to God, God, what is it that you want from me? What is it that you want of me? We sang that hymn, I Surrender All. whenever we surrender our all to Jesus, usually the result is He commissions us for His great work. He calls us into His great service. Verse 3 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patience, instruction. So the first thing he wants Timothy to do with this, continue to preach the word. Continue to preach the gospel. You see, Timothy was not charged only to know the word. Yes, Paul says to Timothy, watch your doctrine very closely. So yes, Paul wants Timothy to know the truth. Paul wants Timothy to study the truth. Paul wants Timothy to approve the word. But most importantly, Paul wants Timothy to preach the word. Okay? Paul wants Timothy to preach the word. The preaching of the word was his commission. And likewise, let me divert a little bit of attention to us. See, the great commission to us as a church is not just to know the truth. Yes, the truth indeed sets us free. That is part of the commission. We need to know the truth. We need to rest in that truth. We need to abide in that truth. We need to wrap ourselves with the truth. Okay, but most importantly, us being wrapped in that truth, let us not be comfortable so wrapped in that truth that we forget the commission that comes with that truth. And the commission that comes with that truth is to go and to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. And it starts locally, amen? Starts locally, starts with where you are, starts with your loved ones, starts with your family. Starts with us living a life that represents Christ and shows the love of Christ. A few days ago I shared with us from Philippians, the message of Paul to the church in Philippi, let your gentleness be known, or let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, live a life in such a way where people will see Christ in you. Not just people will hear Christ from you, but let people see Christ in you, which is a completely different thing. We can let people know about Christ, but the real question is, are we showing them Christ? It's very difficult. It's easy to say, hey, give your life to Jesus, your life will be amazing, you know, praise the Lord. It's great to say one thing, but it's different when we're actually living it out. And gospel is actually about living it out, church, amen? Our relationship with Jesus Christ is all about us living it out. Me and my relationship with my wife, I can say to my wife, I love you. I can say to my wife, listen, darling, you're beautiful, this and that. But the most important measure of my love is shown when I show to her how much I love her. And that could be either taking her out on a meal, taking her out on a date night, and actually buying her things and all that sort of stuff. But it's action, okay, that backs my words. What I say should be backed with my actions. And that very thing Paul is saying to Timothy, listen, Timothy, okay, I know there are many clever people in that area. I know there are many clever preachers out there. I know there are many theologians and scholars out there. But one thing I want you to grasp hold of is this. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Preach the word, Timothy. And the word to us from the Lord is this today. Preach the word, church. Preach the word. You guys are the ministers of the gospel. You guys are the ministers of the gospel. You carry the message of the gospel with you. Amen. Secondly, Timothy was called to be prepared in season and out of season. So the first charge from Paul to Timothy was, Timothy, preach the gospel. Amen. The second charge from Paul to Timothy is this, Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. What Ken was saying earlier on, be prepared in season and out of season. You know, it's wonderful to preach the gospel when everything's going great. I love it when I've had a great morning, great day, great start, I'm here. Yes, come on church, we can do this. But there are days where I've not had a great start. And there are days where I'm seriously, seriously struggling. But does that mean I stop preaching the gospel? No. Those are the days where I need to push myself to preach the gospel, amen? There are days where, honestly speaking, you know, sometimes we don't feel like coming to church. You know, because the things of the world, you know, it just suppresses us, presses on us and all sorts of things, pulls us down and everything. And literally, like, sometimes you don't feel like being around people and being amongst people. So, but those are the days where we need to really push ourselves, church. Because Timothy, you know, he was hard pressed from every direction. As Paul would say, I'm hard pressed from every direction, but I am not crushed. Okay? These are the words from Paul himself. I'm hard pressed from every direction, but I'm not crushed. Have you ever felt hard pressed from every direction? But I've got the truth. You might be hard pressed from every direction, but you will not be crushed. Because Christ is in you. Because Christ is in you, amen? And therefore, we need to be prepared in season and out of season. In season, so here's a beautiful, beautiful example. We find this in Old Testament, actually. The 7-7 principle. 7 years of famine and 7 years of prosperity. Okay, we see that in the account that we read, Joseph. Okay, there was a great famine in the land for 7 years, but there was also great prosperity for 7 years. And what was able to sustain the nation in those famine years was the years of prosperity. So church, what I want to say to you is this. In your good days, make sure you devote yourself to the Word of God. Make sure you give your all to the Word of God. Make sure you are so committed to the Word of God that in your bad days, you've got enough fuel in you to carry you through. Amen? You've got enough fuel in you to carry you through. So in my good days, what I do, like I write things. And in my bad days, I also write things. You know, and I always go back and I read them. And it kind of prepares me for when I'm having a tough day. In my good days, I write, God, thank you, this and that. God, I thank you, I praise you that you brought me through, you brought me this far. So when I'm struggling, what do? I go back and I read it. I love the fact that Steve's writing this devotional book. I'm sure there were days where Steve didn't feel like writing them. There were elements in his journey where he was in season, boom, it was flowing. But there were elements or days in his journey where there were out of season type moments where he didn't feel like writing them. But the fact that he continued, the fact that he persevered, I praise God, you know, hopefully in the next few months I'll have a copy in my hand and we will be able to read it together and we'll be able to glorify God together. Amen. And same for you, church, I want to encourage you. I don't know what season you are going through right now. You might be going through a really dry season. You might be going through a really prosperous season. But whatever season you are going through, I want to say to you this, prepare yourself. Always stay prepared. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Be prepared, church. Amen. Be prepared. Why do we need to be prepared? Because there might be days, you know, where I shared with you that testimony, or not testimony, that account of actually one of my friends last week. You know, I had many opportunities to actually sit down with him and talk with him, you know, but it's just, I didn't make time. Because I wasn't feeling like it, you see. And because I wasn't feeling like it, I missed out on that opportunity. And sometimes we go through seasons and when, you know, God might bring an important appointment along your way. Well, just so it might happen, you might be not feeling your 100% self that day, leading you to miss an opportunity to actually plant that seed in somebody else's life. And you see, now so much so I don't take God appointments lightly these days. You know, Reinhard Bonnke, I believe it was Reinhard Bonnke, he was the story goes something like this. One of the preachers was actually, I believe it was Reinhard Bonnke, but I could be wrong again. He was holding a seminar and he was preaching a seminar on evangelism and reaching out to the lost. And he was preaching it, and so it happened they did a big crusade after the service and he was preaching the gospel, you know, and he's been preaching the gospel for so many years and things were going great. Then one day, someone actually approached him and asked him a question. And because, of course, you know, when you're a preacher and when you've got big events, you can't talk to everybody. So it happened, this person come up to him and talked to him, and he didn't get enough time to actually sit down and talk to this person. And the person left the seminar. And so it happened, the next day there was news. And in that news, it was headlined, a person committed suicide. And the person who committed suicide was the person who spoke to Reinhard Bonnke that same night he was preaching. And that did something to him. That did something. And you know what he said? He said, from that, since that day, you know, every time I get an opportunity, I'm going to preach like it's my last ever sermon. I'm going to give my all. Doesn't matter if I'm in season or out of season. It's not about me, but this is about me giving the message of the gospel to the lost and to the broken out there. And every time I hear that testimony, you know, and that incident a couple of years ago with me kind of missing out an opportunity to give the gospel to one of my friends who later on set himself on fire and committed suicide. It broke my heart, you know, and it's just, whenever I meet with people, I always try my hardest to make sure that I squeeze in the gospel wherever I can. And that's what Paul says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And can I say this? Sadly, sometimes followers of Jesus Christ are ashamed of the gospel. They feel ashamed to share Christ to the world. And this is a challenge to myself as well. And therefore, Paul is now saying to Timothy, listen, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, Timothy, preach the word. Listen, Timothy, be ready in season and out of season, because you will have God appointments. You will have divine appointments. And when you have those divine appointments, make sure you are ready to give the word of God to them. And church, this is a message of the Lord to us as well. I don't know what season you might be going through today, but whatever the season, please listen to this message very carefully. Be prepared. And if God gives you the opportunity, don't let the opportunity slip. Don't let the opportunity slip by. You are ministers of the gospel. The only Bible people will read is you. Because they don't know anything about the gospel. They don't know anything about the love of Jesus Christ. The only person who's able to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ is you and me. And if the church stays silent and quiet, who's going to give them the gospel? If the church stays in that place where they are, in that comfortable place, who's going to go out and reach out to the lost? We need to be ready, amen? We need to be ready. And thirdly, Paul writes to Timothy, okay? Timothy, use the word of God to reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patient instruction. It's difficult, with every form of patient instruction. Okay, you see, we all love the idea of encouraging messages. I love encouraging messages. Well, in fact, whenever I go on YouTube, I always look for encouraging messages. I don't look for challenging messages. Because we love a bit of encouragement, don't we? But when it comes to actually correction, I think in general we struggle with that, because I don't like to be told that I am wrong. That's just how we are. You know, but the reality we need to understand is sometimes, or should I say most of the time, it could be that we might not be right and we are wrong. And it is very difficult to admit that we are wrong when we are wrong. We know we are wrong, but the pride holds us and holds us to the edge where we don't want to confess and admit that we are wrong when we are wrong. Okay? And that's why Paul is very, very serious and very, very strong when he says to Timothy, listen, Timothy, you are not just only to encourage with the word of God, but you are to correct with the word of God. Not only that, but rebuke. You know, it's a strong word, rebuke. Nobody likes rebuking, or nobody likes being rebuked. But Paul's saying to Timothy, listen, Timothy, you need to rebuke with the word of God, with patient instruction. Okay? So Timothy was commissioned to preach the true word of God. The true word of God. Not the fluffy, flashy gospel, but rather a life-transforming gospel. So why was he called to preach the true gospel? The answer is found in the next verse, actually. Verse 3 and verse 4. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine. That's why you need to use the word of God. To challenge, to rebuke, to correct. Because the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers. So they will find their own teachers who will preach nice, feel-good messages to suit their own desires. So they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So why is the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the truth important? And we find it in these two verses. Because time is coming when, firstly, people will not endure sound doctrine. People will not like sound doctrine. And that's why Timothy needs to stay focused. And that's why Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy, you need to stay focused. Paul's actually aging. And he's not got much of a time left for him. And, you know, he's actually making sure that he gets Timothy's attention and lets Timothy know, listen, Timothy, I love you with all my heart. Listen, Timothy, I see what you are doing. I see the passion you have. I see the heart you have to serve God and His people. And that's why I want you to get this absolutely on point, because I don't want you to get sidetracked. Therefore, I'm writing you these things. So Paul's saying to Timothy, listen, Timothy, there are going to be men who will not endure sound doctrine. Because the fallen nature of human heart desires to hear what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. That's the fallen nature of humanity. Nobody likes to be told the truth, but it is the truth that will set them free. And secondly, they will heap up themselves teachers. This reminds us the most popular teachers are not necessarily the most faithful teachers. Let me say that again. Because someone's popular preacher does not mean they are faithful preachers. Because just because we see somebody on the television preaching the gospel in front of thousands and thousands of people does not mean they are faithful preachers. And the same questions applies to me as well, because I'm standing here this afternoon preaching the gospel to you, preaching this message to you. Does that mean I'm faithful in all my acts, in all of my service? That is a challenging question for myself as well. And that's why it is very, very important that we keep our hearts in check. We have to investigate our own hearts. Not just examine, but investigate our own hearts. And I need to allow you that key to investigate my heart. And this is where accountability comes. Examination is what I do. Okay, I examine my heart. But investigation is me giving the key of my heart to the accountability circle and saying to them, listen, I'm accountable to you. Please, if there's anything in me, or if you see anything in me, challenge me, correct me. It is very, very, this is a very tough conversation. Okay? This is a very tough conversation. And can I say this? You know, even though sometimes we talk about accountability, we're not fully accountable. Okay? Like I said earlier on, saying is one thing, but doing is another. And in my journey, more and more I'm realizing and coming to understanding is this. What we see on the outside is not necessarily what is happening on the inside. We only see half truth. But the real issue of the matter is what's happening on the inside. The motives behind what we do. See, everybody does what? And even in this first Mediterranean, early church time, what was happening, everybody were doing it. You see? And we could just sit, and they could have just sat back and say, oh, listen, this is amazing. The word of God is getting preached, is spreading. They could have just sat back and let the things happen and take place. But no, these men, they were really, really concerned about what was happening. And that's why Paul found it a need to actually write to the churches. If there was no need, we wouldn't have all these letters in front of us today. We wouldn't have all these letters in hard papers with us today. The fact that these men saw what was happening was ungodly. They stood up, they took their ground, and they said, listen, this is not right. We need to do something about it. We need to stand for the truth. And this applies to us today. There is so much changing around us. There is so much happening around us. And if the church closes its eyes and closes its ears and let the world around us revolve the way it's revolving, then in the next few years' time, sadly, there's going to be more broken people, there's going to be more broken society, there's going to be more broken system. And it will be because the church stayed quiet. It will be because the church stayed silent and did not do anything about it when the opportunity was there. And this is why Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy, I don't want you to be quiet. I don't want you to be silent. I want you to do something about it. Paul could have easily said, listen, I've done my bit. I'm just going to sit down and just relax now. But he was like, no, there's work to be done. Amen. There's work to be done. We need to have good discernment, church. We need to have good discernment. You see, people will run to fantasies rather than biblical truth. Once people leave the Word of God, then they often embrace fantastic fantasies. When one has no solid foundation, one will believe in anything. When one has no solid foundation, one will believe in anything. And that's why foundations are very, very important. Steve preached on foundation last Sunday as well, when he was talking about the rock. Why is foundation important? Because foundation, our everything depends on it. Foundation, it is a foundation. It doesn't matter what we build or what things look like on the first floor, second floor, third floor. If the foundation is fragile, boom, everything will come crumbling down. But if the foundation is strong, then we can build. Amen? We can build. And this is the thing. We rush through our growth, church. We rush through it. We've got nothing. This isn't about rushing through it. This is about timing. God's timing. We need to understand God's timing. We need to understand that God functions outside our element and our realm of time. He is God. He does whatever He wants to do. He's God. And sometimes what we do is we box Him in our box of limitation and we say to God, God, move now. We say to God, God, this is how I want you to move. We say to God, God, this is my plan. This is how I want you to operate. But church, I want each and every one of us to be really serious about this. What is it that God wants for you? Not what you want for yourself, but what God wants for you. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, what do you want me to do for your glory? We say to God, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to heal me. God, I want you to open the door for me. God, I want you to bring about, you know, prosperity. I want you to bring about this and that. And I want you to do this. I want you to do that. We give Him praise. Yes, we do. But then straight after that praise, we're so easy to dive into our need box and bring Him all our needs. But have we ever sat down in His presence and asked Him, God, what do you, what is it that you want me to do? What can I contribute? What can I bring? The fact that God's brought you here, Harvest Fields Church, there is a purpose. There is a calling. Amen. Verse 5, but you, Paul writes to Timothy, but you, Timothy, let me bring it to us, but you, church, be sober in all things, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. But you, Church of Christ, there are four important things here. Four important things, alright? I know we've gone through quite a lot, but I'm going to bring these four things. Firstly, Paul says be sober. In other words, be watchful. Be on your guard. Be watchful. You see, Timothy was to keep careful watch over his doctrine and over his life. Be very careful what you allow in your heart. Be very careful who you open up your heart to. Be watchful. And that's where, this is where discernment comes, this is where accountability comes, this is where our study of the Word comes. And secondly, Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship. Endure hardship. In other words, what Paul is saying is, listen, it's not gonna be the fact that there are gonna be no hardships. There will be hardship. It's life, it's part of life. You know, life is hard, life is tough, there are hardships. You know, and it's just one of them things. And that's why even Jesus says, in this world you will have many troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. See, this shows that hardship will come and that we cannot escape hardship. Paul was shipwrecked. So much for the traveling mercies prayer. You know? And Paul was bitten by a snake and all sorts. You know, there was all sorts going wrong for him. And Paul was man of the Spirit. He was man of God. You know, it's just the world was going upside down for him, and he was trying to bring the world in the right place, but everybody was making the world upside down for him. But he continued. You see, and the way we press on is by enduring it. And that's why, endure hardship. Church, when you're going through a hardship, I know this is a difficult confession, but say, thank you God, you are with me. When I go through a hardship, I always say this now, thank God you are with me. I always say it under my breath. Thank you, Jesus. Because before Jesus, before me giving my life to Jesus, when I'd go through a hardship, I'd crumble really bad. I had no one to cry out to. But now I have Jesus. When I go through a hardship, I can say, thank you, Jesus, you are with me. Thank you, Jesus, you are showing me, you are teaching me. Thank you, Jesus, you are leading me. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm never alone. And that is the amazing truth. You are never alone. You see, endurance brings growth and maturity. That's the only way we grow. Without hardship, there is no growth. Without hardship, there is no growth. And the third thing we find in verse 5 is this. Do the work of an evangelist. I think you've already gathered with what I've already said. The message today has had a lot of emphasis on evangelism. The reason it's had a lot of emphasis on evangelism is because that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. And when I was preparing my message earlier on today, I had lots of things brewing in my heart. But as I sat down and as I started preparing myself for God, what is it that you want me to bring? Because like I said earlier on, there's one thing we'd like to bring, but God wants to do the other thing. You see, God gave me this message. And I had a different message prepared on evangelism. You know, as I love kind of bringing steps. So when I preach messages, make sure you bring notepads and pens because I do loads of steps. And sometimes I even confuse myself. Why have I got so many steps? But that's just me. That's how I'm wired. I feel like steps for me helps. So whenever I'm doing anything, I always have steps. That's my way. That's how I'm glued, that's how I function, that's how I operate. And I had a different message on evangelism, and I was going to bring some, which I thought I was going to bring some nice, good points and steps, but God gave me a different message. But this message was about evangelism as well. This message God directed me was about evangelism, and God showed me why evangelism is so, so important. Because Timothy is a young pastor, see? And even Paul's message to Timothy was, Timothy, young pastor, Timothy, young man of God, continue to do the work of an evangelist. Each one of us, we are to continue to do the work of an evangelist. You might be asking God, God, what is my calling? Here's the answer, do the work of an evangelist. Doesn't matter whatever office of operation God places you. Prophecy, teacher, preaching, wherever he places you. But one thing that kind of like overlaps us all is the evangelism. Evangelist. The work of an evangelist, that's each and every one of us. We're called to do that. The work of an evangelist. Okay? We are called to do the work of an evangelist. We are called to preach the word. We are called to make disciples. That's what we're called to do. We are called to make disciples. Do the work of an evangelist. And lastly, Paul says to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Be sober, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There you go. This is the message of the Lord to us. You might be praying, God, what is it that you want me to do? First thing that God would want you to do is this, be watchful, be sober. Refresh, be refreshed in the Lord. Amen. Be prepared in season and out of season. Second thing, there will be hardship because now you've entered into this realm of service. Because before, you were not doing anything, but now you're entering into this realm of service, and now you are ready to serve Him. So there will be hardships. And thirdly, now there will be hardships, but does not mean you stop serving. You have to continue to do the work of an evangelist. Invite people. Preach the gospel to them. Tell them about Jesus. And lastly, fulfill your ministry. Paul knows what it means to fulfill one's ministry. He knows. And you see, the beautiful feature of 2 Timothy is this, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, same chapter actually, verse 7. And it says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I love this. This is a beautiful, beautiful feature that we see in this letter. I have fought the good fight of faith. And you know, Paul writes this in 1 Timothy as well. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy. But in Paul's first letter to Timothy, do you know what Paul says to Timothy? Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, I believe, verse 12. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because Paul is also fighting the good fight of faith. But now, when Paul gets to second letter to Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight of faith. What he's saying is, I have kept the faith, young man. But you have to continue. You have to continue. If you don't hold back, church, there is a ministry in each and every one of you. There is a ministry in each and every one of you. Don't hold back. You see, and there are many reasons why one stays in the same place or where someone's ministry goes unfulfilled. Number one is fear of uncertainty. Fear. Fear holds us back. See, why do we... What stops us from sharing the message of the gospel to other people? Fear. What are they going to think about me? I'm going to make myself look like a fool. Sharing the gospel is not cool, as young teenagers would say. But I think it's the coolest thing one can do. Give one the message of the gospel. Robert was sharing with me earlier on about two of his friends, which I'm sure he's going to bring testimony in a bit. You know, how he was able to pray for them, how he's been able to minister and share the gospel with them, and hopefully in the future we'll get to meet them. You know, and that is a beautiful thing. That's the beauty of the gospel. You see, when one's life gets so full of the love of Christ, one cannot contain it all in themselves. It just bursts out. It just bursts out. And you just, wherever you go, you just become a fragrance of Christ, sharing the love of Christ wherever you go. So number one thing that stops us is fear. What's fulfilling you from unpacking and unleashing the potential God has placed in you? Fear. As simple as that. Fear stops us. Okay? Fear stops us. And secondly, doubt. Can God really use me? Oh, I can't pray like so-and-so. I can't preach like so-and-so. I can't do things like so-and-so. You have your own ministry, church. Amen? You have your own ministry. Men and women of God. And this is also another thing. Criticism and discouragement. Maybe someone might have said something to you. Maybe someone might have unintentionally criticized something about you in the past. Those are the things. See, but what I want to say to you, church, is this. Discover what God has for you. Discover what God has for you. And in your discovery, make sure that you abide in His truth. Seek advice, seek encouragement. Don't let the potential stay potential. Fulfill what God has for you. Fulfill what God has for you. See, the same way Paul charged Timothy. Fulfill what God has for you. You know, we have, whenever we go to graveyard and places like that, we always see all these tombstones and they've two dates. So and so, when they were born and when they died. You know, but the biggest thing that counts the most is that little dash in the middle. Little dash in the middle. Most people don't remember when you were born. Most people don't remember when you died. But people will always remember what you did. That little dash in the middle. And church, I want to say to you, don't let that little dash in the middle be buried under the sand. Make sure in that little dash, you give your all to Christ. Make sure in that little dash, you serve God with all your heart. Make sure in that little dash, you fulfill what God has put in you. And please allow me to charge you with the same command, just as Paul charged young Timothy. Harvest Field Church, preach the word. Men and women of God, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patient instruction. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. So they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Harvest Field Church, but you, men and women of God, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry in Jesus' name. Amen.